Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so excited to be with you today and continuing our study of the Epistle to the Hebrews, filled with so much powerful, inspiring writings for us today, as it was for those first recipients of this letter. Today, we're going to look at chapter 8. And the verse that is going to provide the theme is found in chapter 8 and verse 6. And it says, "But now he," talking about Jesus, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." Now remember, here in Hebrews, the writer is using the Old Testament priesthood, the law, the whole sacrificial system in the tabernacle and temple. He is using all of those and showing how, where there are types and shadows, and how all of those things are fulfilled in Jesus. And so here in verse 8, he's going to talk about how that even in the Old Testament, the high priest was the one who kept the law, the covenant with God. God made a covenant with Israel, and he told them, you can read this back in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, how God told them that if they would love him and obey him, how he would bless them and so on. But they had to keep his commandments, and they had to offer up the appropriate sacrifices in the temple. They had to keep the feast and the festivals. And it was the high priest who was the mediator between the people and God, and who helped them to keep that old covenant in force. But now, what the writer, the point he's going to make, with a new priesthood, with a new high priest, there's of necessity also a new covenant. And this is a better covenant that is built upon better promises. So this is the point that he's making here. So now let's continue reading. Verse 7 says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. But finding fault with them," that is, with that old covenant and its rituals and its requirements, "finding fault with them," he says. Now he's quoting from the Old Testament again. You see, there is no New Testament at this time, so he's making an argument for this new covenant from the Old Testament itself. The Old Testament predicted Jesus. It predicted his high priestly ministry. It predicted a new covenant. It predicted all of these things. And now he's showing how it is all finding its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So now he's going to quote from Jeremiah, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, which I believe is in chapter 31. And so here's what Jeremiah prophesied. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Oh, wow. Listen to that. Old Testament. God saying this. "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts." Ah, instead of just an outward law inscribed in stone, I'm going to put my law in their hearts and in their minds. Wow. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So here we have in the Old Testament, God speaking through Jeremiah, that there's a coming a time when he's going to establish another covenant. He's going to institute a new covenant. Now, let's just read where this happened with Jesus Christ. Now, this is in all the Gospels. I know it's all in all the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But let's read in Mark in chapter 14 and in verse 14. And Jesus said to his disciples, he told them to go to a certain house to prepare the Passover meal, which is what we call the Last Supper. And he said, you're going to see a man with a pitcher. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher, capital T, talking about Jesus, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Now the Passover was a celebration of God's covenant with his Old Testament people and his deliverance of them from the land of bondage, from the land of slavery and Egypt. And they were required to keep this memorial feast every year called the Passover, remembering how God, through the blood of a lamb, delivered Israel from Egypt's slavery and bondage. Wow. Now we're going to see the fulfillment of this. So our Christian communion service and the Last Supper, that we, as we call it, it is the Passover meal. It is rooted in the Old Testament Passover meal. And those, so they sit down to the Passover meal and listen to the words of Jesus. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Speaking figuratively, of course. Jesus often uses figurative language. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. And you are the branches. I am the door to the sheepfold. So Jesus, in his ministry, his teaching, he uses figurative language to give a more vivid picture of who he is and what he wants to be to us. Now, our Catholic friends have taken this literally, and they believe that when their Catholic priest blesses the bread, it actually literally turns in to the body of Jesus, the body and flesh of Jesus. No, and the same thing with blood. No, Jesus is using figurative language here. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Now listen to this. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant. Here we see the inauguration of that new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied was coming, that God said he would establish in the coming days. And here we see it happening with Jesus. This is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And so the point that the writer of Hebrews is making to his fellow Jews, oh, don't give up the Messiah. This is the fulfillment that we have all been looking and waiting for centuries. Here it is, fulfilled in our day. Don't give up on Jesus. He is everything we have been watching and waiting for. This is that new covenant And it is built upon better promises. Oh, how much more if in the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats had to be offered every year would bring forgiveness and reconciliation to God. How much more will the death and the offering of the body and the life of the Son of God reconcile us and bring us freely into His presence? Yes, it is so true, that passage that we read. Let me turn back over to it. We pointed it out at the first. Hebrews chapter 8, I believe it was verse 6. I'm turning over to it now. Hebrews chapter 8, yes, verse 6. But now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also, as the high priest, He's the mediator of this new covenant. And He calls it a better covenant. My, my, how much better it is. Which was established on better promises. He is your mediator. Come to God through Jesus Christ. And through His intercessory ministry, you can keep your covenant with God in place and in force by coming boldly to the throne of grace through this great high priest and this great new and better covenant that is now ours through Jesus Christ. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. There is contact information there. If you'd like to be on our weekly mailing list, send me an email and just say, put me on your mailing list. All kinds of resources there. There are books. There are videos, all sorts of things that will be a blessing to you. Also, if you would like to be a part of my wife Susan's Facebook group, go to Facebook and look up God's Word to Women. She calls it her classroom. Lots of wonderful teachings that are posted there. Also, the God's Word to Women website, godswordtowomen.org, has a treasury of teachings there that will be a blessing to you. And I will look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. God bless.